Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. When Breath Becomes Air by Paul Kalanithi is a memoir that follows a gifted neurosurgeon as he confronts a terminal cancer diagnosis at the height of his medical training and early career. Written with the precision of a clinician and the searching spirit of a philosopher, the book traces Kalanithi's path from studying literature and questions of meaning to pursuing neurosurgery, a field where identity, language, and the physical brain collide. The narrative gains urgency when the doctor becomes the patient, forcing him and his family to renegotiate plans, purpose, and daily life under the shadow of limited time. Rather than offering tidy inspiration, the memoir explores how people build a sense of self through work, love, and commitment, even when certainty disappears. It also illuminates the emotional realities of modern medicine, including how physicians communicate, decide, and care when cures are no longer possible. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from literature to neurosurgery, a search for meaning, a central thread of the memoir is the author's early conviction that understanding life requires more than technical knowledge. His attraction to literature and philosophy reflects a desire to grapple with meaning, mortality, and what makes a human life significant. That intellectual background does not disappear when he turns to medicine. Instead, it becomes a framework for interpreting what he sees in hospitals and operating rooms. Neurosurgery, in particular, offers a unique convergence of the abstract and the biological, because the brain is both a physical organ and the seat of personality, language, and memory. The book highlights how the author's training is not simply a career ladder, but a moral and existential commitment to reduce suffering, preserve personhood, and help patients and families navigate terrifying uncertainty. This topic also reveals the costs of that commitment. Long hours, intense responsibility, and the pressure to be flawless push trainees to redefine themselves around competence and endurance. By presenting medicine as both calling and identity, the memoir sets up its later question: when the role that gives life structure is threatened, what remains, and how can meaning be rebuilt under radically changed circumstances? Secondly, the doctor becomes the patient, identity under diagnosis. The memoir turns sharply when a life shaped by medical mastery is interrupted by a diagnosis of advanced cancer. This reversal is not only physical but existential, because it collapses the usual distance between clinician and patient. The author must experience the waiting, the scans, the ambiguous language, and the vulnerability that patients routinely endure. The book examines how quickly identity can destabilize when competence is replaced by dependency. Habits formed in training, such as analyzing symptoms and predicting outcomes, can become both coping tools and sources of torment. At the same time, being medically knowledgeable does not grant emotional immunity. If anything, it can intensify awareness of worst-case trajectories. The narrative also highlights the awkwardness of being cared for by colleagues and peers, where professional familiarity coexists with personal fear. This topic emphasizes that serious illness forces decisions that are rarely purely rational. Treatment choices, career plans, and family goals become entangled with questions like, who am I if I cannot do my work? And what obligations do I still have? The memoir portrays diagnosis as a confrontation with finitude that demands a new way to measure days and define a self beyond achievement. Thirdly, inside modern medicine, compassion, communication, and limits beyond personal story, the book offers a clear view of how contemporary medicine functions when confronted with life and death. It shows clinicians balancing protocol and improvisation, evidence and uncertainty, urgency and patience. One major focus is communication. How words can clarify, confuse, comfort, or wound, especially when prognosis is complex. The memoir suggests that truth-telling is not a single event but an ongoing negotiation, shaped by what a patient can bear and what a physician can responsibly promise. It also examines the emotional labor of caring for people at their most vulnerable. In high-stakes fields like neurosurgery, decisions may alter speech, movement, memory, and identity, making consent and risk assessment profoundly personal. The author explores how doctors are trained to project steadiness, yet privately carry doubt, grief, and moral residue. Importantly, the book does not depict medicine as either heroic or cynical. Instead, it acknowledges both the extraordinary power of modern treatment and its boundaries, including the moment when survival statistics stop being abstract and become a family's lived reality. This topic invites readers to understand medicine as a human practice, where skill must be paired with humility and presence. Fourthly, love, family, and time, making choices without guarantees. As illness reshapes the future, the memoir turns to the intimate sphere of marriage, partnership, and the difficult choices that arise when time feels shortened. The relationship between the author and his spouse becomes a lens for how couples face uncertainty together, negotiating hope and realism, protecting one another, and grieving changes before they fully arrive. The book explores how plans that once seemed straightforward, such as career progression and family building, become ethically and emotionally complicated under terminal diagnosis. Decisions are reframed around values rather than timelines, asking what constitutes a good life when the horizon is unclear. This topic also addresses how time itself changes meaning. Ordinary moments can become weighted, while long-term ambitions may need to be relinquished or transformed. Rather than presenting a single formula for coping, the memoir portrays resilience as a series of small acts, continuing to work when possible, accepting help, and choosing closeness even when outcomes cannot be controlled. Readers see how love can be both a source of pain and a stabilizing force, providing a reason to endure treatment and a context in which suffering is shared rather than solitary. Lastly, mortality and purpose. What it means to live toward the end. The memoir's most enduring contribution is its reflection on mortality, not as an abstract concept, but as a daily reality that demands practical and philosophical responses. The author considers what it means to live well when the future is uncertain, and how purpose can be sustained when former markers of success, such as training milestones or professional recognition, lose their dominance. The book suggests that meaning is often constructed through commitments to loved ones, to patience, to honest work, and to inner integrity. It also highlights the tension between hope and acceptance. Hope is not portrayed as denial, but as the decision to keep investing in life, even if the scale of ambition changes. Acceptance is not surrender, but an acknowledgement of limits and a focus on what remains controllable, like how one treats others and how one meets suffering. This topic resonates because it avoids easy lessons. Instead, it offers a nuanced view of courage as clarity, presence, and continued engagement with life. By tracing a mind trained to analyze confronting the unanswerable, the memoir invites readers to reflect on their own priorities and to consider how awareness of death can sharpen, rather than diminish, the value of living. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers drawn to memoir, medical narratives, and reflective writing about meaning, work, and mortality. It will also speak to medical students, clinicians, and caregivers who want a humane depiction of what it feels like to practice in high-stakes settings and to accompany someone through serious illness. The benefit is not a set of step-by-step coping tactics, but a deeper vocabulary for thinking about identity and purpose. By showing how one person renegotiates ambition, marriage, and vocation under terminal diagnosis, the memoir helps readers examine their own assumptions about time, success, and what makes a life coherent. It can encourage more deliberate choices, greater empathy toward patients and families, and a clearer appreciation of ordinary days. Compared with many books about illness, this memoir stands out for the rare combination of clinical insight and literary seriousness. The author can describe medicine from the inside while still questioning its limits and its language. The result is neither sentimental nor detached, but precise, emotionally honest, and intellectually engaging. That balance makes it worth buying for readers who want an account that respects complexity and leaves a lasting framework for reflection long after the final page. If you would like to support Paul Kalanithi, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.